It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. That was a fun 12 o'clock hour. A little shenaniganery.
Sure enough.
In the middle of that hour, we decided to open the phone lines and let y'all call in and give a positive only review for your candidate of choice. Where are our lefties? They usually call in if I ask other questions.
Yeah, that's interesting because we usually have a handful. I would say if we have 10 calls, mm-hmm. about two or three of them would be from people who are genuinely on the left.
You have to ask yourself, are none of them listening today? Totally possible.
Well,
or
we
can
do
they
this
not do it?
On Fridays a lot, though. So yeah. You'd think that they would be listening on a Friday, just like other Fridays.
Scott Jennings of CNN, Bill Maher refers to him as Lonely Scott, which I think is funny. He has that in his bio now. Scott Jennings does.
Bill Maher says that?
He calls him Lonely Scott.
Really?
Yeah, because he's the only right-leaning person on CNN. Scott Jennings was talking about why people like Donald Trump. Let's listen.
But he did lay out a series of things, making his tax cuts that he passed in his term permanent. He talked about terminating the Inflation Reduction Act, which, by the way, Joe Biden admitted today they totally lied about. He admitted they should have called it a climate change bill. But he talked about terminating that and giving back unspent funds. He talked about cutting regulations. He talked about unleashing more domestic energy production. So he did give a speech today that gave you an idea of the kinds of economic principles that he would put in place.
Right, but
in his opinion,
it's easy to with a broad brush.
They would improve the economy.
It's easy with a broad brush.
I may just go back on the efficiency issue. I actually do think voters want to hear a president of the United States say, you know, maybe the federal government does need to be more efficient. Maybe we do waste money. Maybe it's too big. Maybe we need to take a look top to bottom to see if we've been stacking bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy for so long that we have no idea what's working. So I think as a matter of what will voters say to this, and I don't know if Elon Musk is going to run it or the right person to run it or whatever, but they do believe that outsiders, business people, folks from the private sector might have something to say about how government could run more efficiently. It's one of the allures of Trump in the first place. Trump, the businessman, it's why they think he would be good at managing the economy. So I do think there's some appeal to it politically.
So, those are all very boring but very important reasons why people support Donald Trump. There's no emotional sensationalism that goes into all of that, which is kind of the point. Like, make the case for your candidate without having to smack the other candidate around. And you don't really hear a whole lot of that. Everything that surrounds this campaign is usually trying to push you into an emotional reaction.
It's probably why Donald Trump, being the media showman that he is, attached Elon Musk to it. Because, like Scott Jennings said, we don't know if this will be Elon Musk. But just the fact that he's out there saying, we need to have more accountability, we have so much government waste, that's a good thing. And then saying, and I think Elon Musk will be in charge of it, that kind of gets the headlines. It works. So I'm all for it. And we need it regardless of whose name is attached to it.
What do you think, like in all sincerity, not joking around here, What is the Kamala Harris positive endorsement?
Like from a caller or
no,
a voter?
I mean, like how... I think that if I think about other candidates that have run against candidates that I've supported, I can come up with things that are obviously positive to a large group of people. Maybe not to me, but I can see that the other side has a perspective that I don't and acknowledge that. I don't know what the Kamala Harris positive is outside of not Trump.
Well, I say this in all sincerity in answering your question, that I do think it is just like the joy thing, the feelings.
But I don't think
she's energetic.
But I don't think that I don't think those are true. And I think those are just words that the people on the left are using to more define how we're supposed to consume Donald Trump.
I do too.
That she's not joyful. I mean, again, I've said this from really the very beginning when joy became a thing, that I believe that the joy, the joy umbrella was to cover her laugh. And that her laugh was looked at as a liability, and they were trying to take a liability and figure out how they could turn it into a neutral to strength asset. And the idea of joy, I mean, what do you think of when you think of joy? Smiling and laughter. And so they decided to try to flip it on its head and make her laughter a strength for her. I don't think it works. And I think that the joy element is the opposite. I mean, it is the opposite feeling of what Harris supporters feel when they think of Donald Trump.
The surprising thing with...
Just to sum up, I just don't think that joy is even... If Ron DeSantis is the candidate, I don't think they're talking about joy right now.
No. But I think they've had to go with that and the feelings thing, because they were going to run on one major point, and it was that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. They were going to make that the center of the entire campaign, which again is not focused on their candidate. It's focused on the other guy. But they can't even do that now because their candidate got no votes. So they're left with just feelings. You could say that the democracy thing is kind of a policy. It's not really a policy so much as it is a philosophy. But at least it was something. There really is not anything now that you can say this is what they're running on.
I think my strength as somebody who can have conversations with people comes with my genuine interest in understanding an opposing view. I feel stronger about my positions when I have challenged them with an understanding of why somebody might disagree with me. Because sometimes you'll consider the opposite side and you'll go, I really understand that. And, you know, I've got my visceral response to the issue, but I can understand how I wouldn't, just because I feel this certain way about something, that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't translate to the other side to just make them need to feel the same way I do. I think abortion is one of those issues that, for me, I am pro-life. I think life begins at conception. I think that's science. I don't think that there's really anything to disagree there. And if somebody were to say it doesn't begin at conception, I would then counter with, well, when does life begin? And that tends to be arbitrary for people who are trying to advocate for abortion at any and all measures. While I do believe that life begins at conception and that all life should be protected, I do understand why people find themselves in Planned Parenthood with the only choice that they think they have from the pressures of the pro-choice, pro-abort movement. They feel like they have only one choice, and their only one choice is to get rid of the baby, because having that baby is going to ruin their life. And I think that Republicans miss the mark so much. I mean, I wish that the Republican Party would, for every effort made by the left to make abortion possible, I wish we would double their efforts in making adoption accessible. So that when abortion is discussed and they say, what are you doing about it? You only care about the baby until it's born and then you don't care about it. I don't believe that to be true, but sometimes our advocacy doesn't prove that we don't believe that to be true. And you start talking about government programs and government handouts. Our government gives $500 million or something to Planned Parenthood. What if we gave $1 billion to the adoption industry so that you could make sure that good families out there can take in these babies whose moms decide that their lives are worth delivering? Why is adoption so incredibly inaccessible? Why is it? I mean, I think Illinois, I have a friend who adopted two children, and the stories, the story, the timeline would make you furious to understand the these are two of the most amazing people that I know. And when those people walk in and say, I'd like to adopt a baby, you should be pulling out every stop to make sure that that happens. And we just don't do it. Government bureaucracy, red tape, everything gets in the way and makes it complicated. And there are people who quit doing it because we overcomplicate the situation. Now, you can't just be handing kids out to people in their homes, but the alternative can't be that baby's life's not worth living. So you kill it. Where is the advocacy? You don't really see it. Name somebody who's out there who's in government right now who is a huge adoption advocate.
It's not front and center for anybody.
Why? I mean, if you want to push back, I mean, I should do better at this. But if you want to look for solutions to the problem instead of trying to win an argument over a problem, which, you know, I can sit here and advocate for life and why scientifically, biologically, I think life begins at conception. And I can say that we should not be ending those lives. And people can just willfully say, I don't agree with that. There are people who will openly say, well, you know, I think it's a baby, but I just don't think that the mom should have to bear that burden. And then, you know, there are people on the right side of the aisle who will say ignorant things like she made a choice when she made the choice to put herself in a position for conception. And I mean, that is true, that you will not get pregnant if you don't have sex with people. And if you're in a position where it's been forced upon you, are there exceptions to the rule there? Those are ones that can be politically discussed. How many babies' lives could be saved because abortion isn't accessible for just birth control? But in a defense mechanism against a scenario where there has been a forcing upon, that's a different conversation that we have. I'm open to politically having those conversations, but it still doesn't change. That doesn't change science. That doesn't make it different. Life doesn't begin in a later time when the baby is conceived in the worst of circumstances. Life is life. That's just the way it is. But I understand an advocacy politically of saying that this is when we use the morning after. This is when we do 6 weeks or whatever. I mean, all of those conversations should be had. I actually wish that we would take it up as a cultural issue. I wish the church would take it up as a religious issue. I wish that communities would take it up as a, do we have children in our communities that are in need? And we would support those kids because those are lives worth supporting and protecting. And we just sit and fight over abortion.
While you don't hear politicians making the case that you're making right now, the nice thing is, and I know you know a lot of these people too, there are individuals who make it their life's mission to take care of those babies. And you know what they do? They typically start ministries or they start not-for-profits. And that is completely 100% private funded.
When you think about, like, the three of us in here, Ethan in for Brad today, the three of us in here are Christians. We, foundationally, that's who we are. I completely understand, respect the fact that you listening right now might not be of that walk. I don't think that if you don't have my Christian faith, that doesn't at least mean you can't have a secular understanding of morality. I don't think you need to have a Christian faith to, in a secular way, understand that going out and killing somebody on the street right now is bad. I definitely get morality from my Christian faith. But I don't think that morality has to specifically be rooted personally, individually in religion, although most morality is derived from religion. But all of the issues that we could talk about, mental health, students who feel so disenchanted with everything around them, like this kid apparently in Georgia felt. Going back, I've heard a lot about Ethan Crumley, which was at Michigan, I think, with the parents were charged. I think it was Michigan.
Good question.
He was drawing the most heinous drawing, saying like, I need help and nobody will help me. I mean, like, you want to talk about screaming out for help? Like, what is the mental health crisis taking place in our country right now? Look at all of these issues where abject loneliness is consuming people. And the answer is not in a politician. The answer that you need to remedy these incredibly huge problems that are expanding in our country, Republicans need to be the small government group, and we need to understand that we need to look within our communities. We need to look within our churches. What is your church? What is my church doing to help the least of these? When churches, when communities, when families see people in need and pick up and help those people in need, you have way less need for government to stand up and do it. And I mean, it's not a good excuse, but when communities don't pick up and help themselves, it opens the door wide open for politicians to take advantage of that situation to obtain and retain power for themselves in the absence of good people doing good things. And abortion is going to be a huge issue in this election. It's probably the number one thing that's going to get Democrats across the line in close races, because you got states like Missouri who have abortion on the ballot, and it's going to pull up and out some of those Democrat voters. But I implore you to understand that as somebody who is about as pro-life as it gets, you need to understand that the fix is cultural. It's not political. We're not going to elect the right human beings into government office to then right the ship. And it is super, super lazy, for lack of a better term, and fruitless to sit around and know that these problems, abortion being one of them, but there are many, many more, that these problems exist in our society and be like, well, you know, you got Democrats in office. That's just what happens. And so you sit around and wait for a Republican to get there, and then they don't get anything done either. The culture is where we can fix these things. And that requires people like me in my everyday life, and probably you and yours, if you haven't done that yet, to get up off our tushes and go do something helpful for just like one person. It doesn't have to be something that gets headlines written about it. It could be in your church. You know the things your church does in your community. You know the things that your maybe community groups, different advocacy groups or philanthropy groups in your neighborhoods, what they do. Like, how much of this are we actually participating in? And how often do we as conservatives, you know, I live in the state of Illinois, complain a little bit about the state government from time to time, living in or working in the city of St. Louis. I leave the blue state of Illinois to come work in the blue city in what the bluest cities in Missouri. And there's lots to complain about here, but like, what am I doing in the process that of what I can actually do to make it better? As a challenge to myself. I mean, maybe to you, maybe you relate to that as well. But the answer is not, Ryan, well, once we get Republicans in there, everything's going to be fixed. You do not fix culture with politics.
No, as we always say, politics is downstream from culture. And I always say that culture is downstream from spirituality / morality, which is exactly what you're just saying just now.
Let's take a quick break. Ask us anything when we come back. If you want to join us in the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can leave your comments and ask us in the questions. We got Ethan in for Brad today. Brad's taking the day off. You can ask Ryan, Ethan, myself, whatever you want, and we'll field as many of those questions as we can. Be or not to be, a little bit later in the show, 1:45, depending on how many questions we get, might hit it off in the top of the 2 o'clock segment, but we will do Be or Not to Be with Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America coming up here before we wrap the show up. And your YouTube live chat poll votes. Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Yes or no? We want to hear, man, lots of comments here. Orange Potato says, I do not fly an American flag, but I do fly a Missouri state flag. That's interesting. Joseph said, yes, currently only Trump flag or blacked out American flag. I wonder if that's the blue line.
That's what I thought, too, when I read that.
Mm. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
I can argue. I mean, I'm A-okay. I'm A-okay with the thin blue line. And I agree with that message.
Sure.
But then anytime you're altering the flag, I'm like,
yeah.
Andy said, yes, MAGA conservatives don't own patriotism. That's true. We do not. Everybody is welcome. Thank you, Andy, for flying your flag. Let's take a quick break. Ask us anything when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
On Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Man, I love this song. I can't get enough of it. When it first started airing on, I was listening to Sirius, I think, maybe on a vacation. So I was driving in the car long term, and it kept playing over and over again. I love this song. I can't get enough of it.
Who is this?
Shaboozy.
Ah, Shaboozy.
Watch your language. That's what you say when you stub your toe.
No, it's just the way I say it.
It's just the way you say it? Let's
shibu.
Do ask us anything.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
You were going to make a new intro for this.
All right.
Next question. Remember we talked about that last week?
Question, should I make a new intro for this?
Yes.
Ethan.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Ding, ding.
All right.
Dilly dilly. Next. Don't write stuff. You're doing the segment. Do you have a question?
Do I have a question? I'm going to read a couple of the listener questions first. Well, you pulled one up, Ethan. Do you want to do that one?
I'll do it. I did.
Okay.
If aliens landed and offered you the chance to go to another planet that has not been touched by man but is exactly the same, would you go? Like you get to be Adam on the new planet.
I'm assuming he means you got to stay there, though. You can't transfer back and forth. Like, you can't add him over there and come back and be Ryan here.
Either one.
I'd totally do Adam Ryan. I don't know that I would just do Adam. I don't think I would just want to be alone. But do I get to live 1,000 years also?
Do you want to?
I don't know.
No, I think you have to go there when you're 45 or whatever you are going to be.
43.
Close. What's your favorite number? Are you going?
I'm going to say no. I'm not going to do it.
I am not going.
Absolutely not.
No, you're not going to Eve it? You'd be the mother of a
Eve
brand
it.
New...
I had to think about what you said.
I was really confused for a second.
The thing is, though, I almost said it, and I was like, no, you wouldn't even be. You wouldn't be like the mother of a new race. You'd already have a whole bunch of people here. So
you could be a mother. It depends.
You'd just be starting a new planet.
Here's the question. Here's the real question. We find that planet, and it's important that we start a new race, new life. Do we send a man and a woman? And who gets to determine who a man and a woman is to send them there?
Oh, man. I think it would probably end with the politicians deciding that they would send themselves.
To blow the planet up, just nuke it.
No, I think what would happen is you'd have like the number one guy in the world, like whoever's the biggest superpower guy would
Elon
be like,
Musk?
I'm the guy.
Or Joe Biden.
I don't know who it would be.
Maybe we should just send Joe Biden.
It might be Putin.
Oh.
Somebody random who's like, I'm in charge.
That could solve a lot of problems.
And right. Whoever that guy is would be the one guy, and he'd say, I'm going to take 100 women. That's what would happen.
Next question.
Next question. Okay, well, I have one. I would like to do mine. What is the worst pain you've ever had in your life?
Worst pain I've ever had in my life. I had a torsion in my right ovary.
Oh, okay, that sounds really painful.
And it was turning over on itself. So let's talk a little. Speaking of women,
that's why you take 100 of them.
Just in case one's faulty. That was me. Had to have the ovary out. This was after I had my son, but before I had my three girls. But my ovary turned over on itself. And I had to have, I think it's called an oophorectomy. It starts with two O's.
Oofer?
Uh-huh.
Oofa.
Oophorectomy.
I bet it was a German that discovered that process.
I don't know. actually, no. I was going to say, I tried to tell you what my OB's heritage was, and I don't want to guess.
Dr. Schutzenhofer.
no, but it would turn over on itself, and they did an exploratory surgery first to see why I was having such pain, because it wasn't my appendix. And afterwards, my OBGYN who did the exploratory surgery said, like, to put it not in medical terms, you have a flimsy ovary. And basically what attached the ovary to the rest of whatever my system is would turn over on itself.
Ugh.
And they could tell that when it was in there. And then maybe 3 weeks after I had the exploratory surgery, I had the pain again. And I had probably been in the emergency room 6 times or so with this dramatic pain. And they would just dope me up on morphine. And they'd be like, are you still in pain? And I'm like, yes, but I don't care on the morphine. He actually went in to check out what was going on. And then 3 weeks later, same pain. He came in, I think it was on a Sunday night, and took it out. And then I think I got pregnant with Jensen like within 2 months. So you just need one.
This is a months-long process, though.
Well, the emergency, or I had an elective exploratory surgery to find out what was going on. And they didn't take out my ovary because I went into surgery not thinking I was losing parts. So that was the conservative way to go about things. But then I had the pain again quickly. And it felt like I was being stabbed and there's nothing I could do. And I had an appendectomy, but the ovary pain was worse.
Hmm. That does not sound very fun.
And I've had 4 babies. And man.
That was worse.
No.
No, I mean, this thing was worse.
Yes. Because I had had epidurals. And I had, they were, getting that needle stuck in your back. Did you see your wife get that needle stuck in her back? How'd that go for you?
It was rough on me. Yeah, I don't love that. You know what's really rough on her, though, is she did not get the epidural in the second pregnancy, the second delivery.
Because she was going to try to do it natural?
She did. She did natural.
But she went in with intent.
Yeah, knowing that she was going
to. You can go into labor with the intention of getting an epidural and you're too far progressed and you miss the time window
right.
that you can get an epidural. That's the really scary one.
No, this was intentional.
If you go in intentionally thinking no epidural and then you regret it, it's kind of on you.
Oh, yeah. And this is our third child. So, and it wasn't like, oh, you could
after
do
twins.
A water birth or anything like that. She was just on the hospital bed. Just go. Here we go.
Superwoman.
Man, that's rough. But the first one was twins. And she was like, I'm not going to do that. So she got the epidural. It only worked on half of her body. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, sure.
Is that common?
You have to rotate when you're in the bed after you get the epidural because the medicine, if you're on your side, which sometimes they'll put you on your side to help open things up or whatever, the medicine will move more to one side of your body, so you have to turn over so that it stays balanced. But there's also a possibility that it just does take on one side, and never happened to me. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So half of her was very comfortable.
Most pain you've ever had?
when we went to Disney in 2023. You may have heard this story, but
I'm surprised that the most pain you've ever been in, I was adjacent to.
Yeah, you weren't quite there for it, but we did those parks hard. Yeah, we walked hard. And I was so dehydrated without knowing that I was, because you're just achy because you've been walking so much. I didn't realize I just hadn't drank enough water, and I was drinking a decent amount. We just walked that much that by the time we got home, I guess one of the rides there, let's say it was
Big Thunder Mountain,
for instance, shook a kidney stone loose. Now, I didn't know that I had kidney stones, so I woke up in the middle of the night after we got back. And we had done one, I think we had done one full day of broadcasting after we had gotten back too. I woke up in the middle of the night, was in some pain, and I thought, what is going on? I hope I don't have like a ruptured appendix or something. I didn't know what it was. So I went in the bathroom and got so far as to lay down on the floor in the bathroom and just lay there.
In pain.
In pain, not knowing what was going on. So I had walked away from my phone then, and I just couldn't move. And so I crawled back into the room, and I was sleeping in a different room than my wife because I snore sometimes. And I called her on the phone in the middle of the night.
Help me.
You're going to need to come down here.
Why do you sound like a creepy...
I couldn't get it out. And then...
Basement dweller.
Because that's what I am.
Oh.
And... And then
that's a good reason.
I had to call my parents to take me to the emergency room. And on the drive, the only thing I ever said to my dad the whole time, because I'm just sitting there just wincing as he's driving the emergency room, said, "Stop hitting potholes."
Yeah. Is that what you sounded like?
Yeah, because I could barely muster, you know, the sound. It was that painful.
Worst pain, Ethan?
In high school, I don't know really what made it occur, but I had this nasty pinched nerve in my lower back by my piriformis muscle. Basically, like your sacrum bone, your butt, it got shifted forward.
Speaking terms that we understand.
Yeah, there we go.
No Latin here. It got
shifted forward somehow to where it was pinching that nerve, and it affected pretty much everything from my lower back down to my foot on my right side. So there
was
time, chiropractor, a lot of getting adjustments, and yeah, it was not fun. So went through a couple week period there where, I mean, any movement like just could be sudden, could be kind of predictable sometimes. But it was all nerves. I mean, there was no predicting it really. It was terrible.
No bueno. It's time to break. This is where I ask you, Ryan. Shall you claim your Wiggins America Babylon B or not the B time in the 1:45 segment, or would you like to seed it for a longer segment in the 2 o'clock hour and do more Ask Us Anything?
I'm torn because I really would like to do it, but there is one more question that I would also like to ask from one of the listeners. There's quite a few questions.
Can you tease the question? What's it about?
It's about visiting a fictional place.
Okay.
And I think it's an interesting question. So I guess we go ahead and do Ask Me Anything, and then we'll come back with the B or Not the B.
All right. More Ask Us Anything when we come back. The B or Not the B, maybe in Mark Reardon's show. We'll see.
Ask more questions, too. We got one more segment here.
Annie Fry YouTube channel is where you can drop those questions in. We'll do the B or Not the B in the 2 o'clock hour. And check out your comments, too, on the YouTube live chat poll. Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Yes or no? Doug says, yes, I'm not a Democrat. Well, we already got from Andy that Republicans don't own patriotism. Ripper said, yes, I fly it proudly every day. And Russell said, heck yes, I fly an American flag outside my house. Always have and always will. Why? Because I love America. Everyone should. We'll be right back. It's always nice to be able to say that. Do you have big Friday weekend plans?
Yeah, we have. No, we don't have big plans. No, we have a lot of plans.
Yeah.
It's just busy.
Different. What about you, Ethan?
So, I'm going to be at the ballpark a lot.
Yeah?
And
baseball games?
We got baseball tonight. And then Adam Wainwright is going to be on the live post game show tonight at Ballpark Village.
All right.
So, that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. And then tomorrow, Lindenwood football on the play-by-play on radio for that.
You're doing the play-by-play?
Yep. So, looking forward to that as well. And then back to the ballpark on Sunday.
I think his weekend is going to be more impressive than ours, right?
I don't know. Because what team is Lindenwood playing?
Central Arkansas.
I'm calling for them. So it's going to be awkward.
Really? I didn't know you had connections, ties with the Central region of Arkansas.
It's my first broadcast.
The home broadcasts don't joust.
Well, it depends. Like, if you're just a fan of football and you don't have any dog in the fight, you're going to tune into one of us.
Who's the other team?
Central Arkansas.
Does Central Arkansas know that you're broadcasting their side?
Yeah, email them.
Somebody them. Somebody email them. Ask about Wiggins. I would love that.
And apologize and say ahead of time, look, we understand that normally this debut broadcast from Wiggins for Central Arkansas would
this
be
is it. This
huge.
Is big.
But
yeah.
Ethan is on the same show, so there's a little bit of a conflict. So I don't want you to judge me by these numbers this weekend.
I will be watching grade school volleyball all weekend. The team I coach, we've got a 7th grade team playing in an 8th grade tournament.
Hey-o.
Who's calling that, Brad?
Maybe. I don't know. Nobody, because the people in the gym are usually blood related. lots of volleyball this weekend for us. I hope it's just a 2-day tournament, but lots of Lutheran schools, guys. I'm telling you what, Lutheran schools is where it's at. Good competition. And we're excited to this is a weekend of experience. And I keep telling my girls, like, listen, we're not supposed to go there. We're not supposed to win any of these games. We're going to do our best. We're going to get experience. We're going to be a better team when we're done. And it's kind of nice to be able to go into a tournament without any sort of like specific pressures because you're determined to be the underdog. So hopefully there's a lot of growth. I think we're going to maybe get to play a total of 7 matches. And
that's a lot.
I hope we don't hate each other when we're done. It's a lot of matches. I don't think we will. A little more Ask Us Anything before we take into the 2 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you this one.
Okay.
How do you know summer is over? Or what is it that happens that you say, okay, I think we're done?
Summer to me is defined by the school year pretty definitively. My parents have a pool. We love going over there and swimming at the pool. And I am always, it's been more so with each passing year, trying to find any time during the school year to go over there and enjoy the pool. Because the pool stays open till October, usually. It's heated, so you can spend some time in there when it gets into the 70s or the 60s if you want. But, like, man, when the pool gets closed, it's like, I guess it's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
there's a touch of fall, the leaves come down, and summer is over. And it makes me sad.
I was a little surprised to see how early the Halloween stuff was coming out this year. And people were already saying, okay, ready for scary movies and stuff like August 1st.
Yeah. I much prefer fall and winter clothes than summer. But what about you? When's summer over?
Summer is over when football starts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Football has started.
For me too.
So,
yeah, it's this
weekend.
To
the fall we go.
Yep.
What's the mascot of that team again? The one you're broadcasting for?
Oh, the Rice Krispies.
That's not true.
That's personal to us. It's what we carry in the booth.
Yeah, so what do you say on the air?
Go Krispies.
Did you say when summer ends?
No. And I want to clarify, when I asked you who Lindenwood was playing this weekend, that was rhetorical. I already knew, obviously. Summer ends.
Starting to fall apart.
The minute that I feel a little bit of a chill in the air.
Haven't had that yet.
I have.
At later in the evening?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, or early morning. It's just been this week, though. I went, oh, okay. I guess we're there.
Does anything, like, magically happen in that moment for you? Like, or is it just kind of like a recognition?
Can
or
you
is
talk
there
about
a,
it on the air? Or
is there...
I can talk about it on the air. In that moment,
you magically,
no.
Sorry, like, do you go, like, grab a scarf? Like, do you immediately go to Starbucks for pumpkin
but there's,
spice?
There's a hat that sits in our garage most of the year. You put it on anything. We tend to put it on snowmen. They come to life. So you asked about magic. That's for us what it is. But here's the other thing that it bothers me because they made this into a movie. It's been like a long thing with Frosty and all that. We don't do that. You can put that hat on anything. That's what's weird. Like, people just think, oh, you just put it on the snowman comes to life. You can put it on your mailbox, you can put it on some little, clump of grass and the thing kind of coagulates.
You put that on everything?
Ew. Yeah. I put that blank on everything.
That's one of the questions. If you could only eat one condiment for the rest of your life, what would it be? This is an easy one for me.
Me too.
What?
Andrea's steak sauce.
Oh.
Cha-ching!
I don't think they got paid for that one. What about you?
Well, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to... Oh, this is actually more difficult than I thought it'd be. I'm going to go barbecue sauce.
Ranch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Salads. You can put ranch on anything and doesn't make it taste worse.
That's actually true. Because I would go barbecue sauce, too, because I actually do eat barbecue sauce on almost everything. It is Andrea's, but... I would choose barbecue sauce first.
Did you have another question?
One more from a listener. And this one's a thought provoker, so if you need a second, take a second. But what fictional place would you most like to visit? Now, my first thought when I read this question was, you know those places the Beatles went in some of the cartoons and stuff that were all psychedelic? I would like to see what that was like, but...
Mushrooms?
I guess actually it's just going on mushrooms.
I don't. Yeah. What?
I'm probably just taking acid. Never mind. So I'm going to...
Hard pass.
I'm going to change my answer. And this is a deep cut, though. C.S. Lewis has three books called The Space Trilogy. And they are really, really good. They're fiction, obviously. C.S. Lewis's first book in the Space Trilogy, he goes to Mars. The character Ransom goes to Mars. And it is a sinless planet. And
so is this.
The way... Explain.
In the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well, this one, the fall never happened, and the world progressed without sin. And the way he describes it, he's an amazing writer, is just fascinating, because it had developed, so it's not like it was primitive, but it was sinless. So that is always that's always intrigued me.
Heaven.
Kind of, but... It wasn't heaven in the same way. It was like, this is what it would be like if there was no fall. So.
Heaven.
Well, yes, but it seems like you can do a little more in heaven.
I'm going. Ethan, do you have a fantasy land you'd like to go to?
No, I was Googling them because I'm like, what options are even out there? I think that Pandora, where Avatar, you know.
You can do that at Disney World.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You can, can't you?
Yeah. And they do a really good job. You got to go in the evening. Bioluminescence.
Why?
Because the whole thing is lights up and is there to glow green and blue and purple.
I don't think I've ever seen it at night.
That's it's hard awesome. To see Animal Kingdom at night because they traditionally close around 6 or 7. And so you got to go in. Well, you've been there in December. You could probably see it.
Yeah, I don't think we stayed late enough.
I don't think when you were there that they were open late enough. Because I think when you went... In the winter, it was
COVID
times.
It was
time,
the winter of our discontent.
Are we 56, 50, or 57?
57.
Okay. One last quick question here. Why is cheesecake called cheesecake when it has a consistency of pie? Ryan, answer the question now.
Because we determined as a society that was what we were going to do, and that is what we're going to stick with. Now get off my lawn.
Fair enough. I needed you to do that for about 30 more seconds.
Oh, sorry.
So people on not watching the stream right now are very confused.
Yeah, that was a question from Get Off My Lawn.
There's an inside joke here.
We get asked that question every week.
People ask that question, I mean, months, maybe years.
Yes.
And we just always avoid it.
We don't know what to say about it.
We're like, I don't know.
Our answer to the question is, we don't know. Our answer to the question is, good question.
And now we can move on.
YouTube live chat poll. Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Yes or no? What do you say about that? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. Dirk said, yes, I proudly fly the flag of the United States of America, our country. And Dave says, if you fly a United States flag, everyone knows how you'll vote. Trump. Is that true? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Be or not the bee, Ryan, when we come back. Are you ready?
I couldn't be more
ready.
Are
you nervous?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
No.
Weekend plans?
Yeah, we don't have big plans.
No,
we have a lot of plans.
Yeah.
It's just busy.
Different. What about you, Ethan?
So, I'm going to be at the ballpark a lot.
Yeah?
And
home baseball games?
We got baseball tonight. And then Adam Wainwright is going to be on the live post-game show tonight at Ballpark Village.
All right.
So that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. And then tomorrow, Lindenwood football on the play-by-play on radio for that.
You're doing the play-by-play?
Yep. So looking forward to that as well. And then back to the ballpark on Sunday.
I think his weekend is going to be more impressive than ours, Ryan.
I don't know. Because what team is Lindenwood playing?
Central Arkansas.
I'm calling for them. So it's going to be awkward.
I didn't know you had connections, ties with the Central region of Arkansas.
It's my first broadcast.
The home broadcasts don't joust.
Well, it depends. Like if you're just a fan of football and you don't have any dog in the fight, you're going to tune into one of us.
Who's the other team?
Central Arkansas.
Does Central Arkansas know that you're broadcasting their side?
Yeah, email them.
Somebody Somebody email them. Ask about Wiggins. I would love that.
And I'd apologize and say ahead of time, look, we understand that normally this debut broadcast from Wiggins for Central Arkansas would
this
be
is it. This
huge.
Is big.
But Ethan is on the same show, so there's a little bit of a conflict. So I don't want you to judge me by these numbers this weekend.
I will be watching grade school volleyball all weekend. My the team I coach, we've got a 7th grade team playing in an 8th grade tournament.
Hey-o.
Who's calling that, Brad?
Maybe. I don't know. Nobody, because the people in the gym are usually blood related. lots of volleyball this weekend for us. I hope it's just a 2-day tournament, but lots of Lutheran schools, guys. I'm telling you what, Lutheran schools is where it's at. Good competition. And we're excited to this is a weekend of experience. And I keep telling my girls, like, listen, we're not supposed to go there. We're not supposed to win any of these games. We're going to do our best. We're going to get experience. We're going to be a better team when we're done. And it's kind of nice to be able to go into a tournament without any sort of like specific pressures because you're determined to be the underdog. So hopefully there's a lot of growth. I think we're going to maybe get to play a total of 7 matches. And
that's a lot.
I hope we don't hate each other when we're done. It's a lot of matches. I don't think we will. A little more Ask Us Anything before we take into the 2 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you this one.
Okay.
How do you know summer is over? Or what is it that happens that you say, okay, I think we're done?
Summer to me is defined by the school year pretty definitively. My parents have a pool. We love going over there and swimming at the pool. And I am always, it's been more so with each passing year, trying to find any time during the school year to go over there and enjoy the pool. Because the pool stays open till October, usually. It's heated, so you can spend some time in there when it gets into the 70s or the 60s if you want. But, like, man, when the pool gets closed, it's like, I guess it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. there's a touch of fall, the leaves come down, and summer is over. And it makes me sad.
I was
I
a little
endings.
Surprised to see how early the Halloween stuff was coming out this year. And people were already saying, okay, ready for scary movies and stuff like August 1st.
Yeah. Huh? I much prefer fall and winter clothes than summer. But what about you? When's summer over?
Summer is over when football starts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Football has started.
For me too.
So,
yeah, it's this
weekend. The fall we go.
Yep.
What's the mascot of that team again? The one you're broadcasting for?
Oh, the Rice Krispies.
That's not true.
That's personal to us. It's what we carry in the booth.
Yeah, so what do you say on the air?
Go Krispies.
Did you say when summer ends?
No. And I want to clarify, when I asked you who Lindenwood was playing this weekend, that was rhetorical. I already knew, obviously. Summer ends.
Starting to fall apart.
The minute that I feel a little bit of a chill in the air.
Haven't had that yet.
I have.
At later in the evening?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, or early morning. It's just been this week, though. I went, oh, okay. I guess we're there.
Does anything, like, magically happen in that moment for you? Like, or is it just kind of like a recognition?
Can
or
you
is
talk
there
about
a,
it on the air? Or is there...
I can talk about it on the air. in that moment,
you magically,
no.
Sorry, like, do you go, like, grab a scarf? Like, do you immediately go to Starbucks for pumpkin spice?
There's a hat that sits in our garage most of the year. You put it on anything. We tend to put it on snowmen. They come to life. So you asked about magic. That's for us what it is. But here's the other thing that it bothers me, because they made this into a movie. It's been like a long thing with Frosty and all that. We don't do that. You can put that hat on anything. That's what's weird. Like, people just think, oh, you just put it on the snowman comes to life. You can put it on your mailbox, you know, you can put it on some little, you know, clump of grass, and the thing kind of coagulates.
You put that on everything?
Oh. Yeah. I put that blank on everything.
That's one of the questions. If you could only eat one condiment for the rest of your life, what would it be? This is an easy one for me.
Yeah, me too.
What?
Andrea's steak sauce.
Oh.
Cha-ching!
I don't think they got paid for that one. What about you?
Well, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to... Oh, this is actually more difficult than I thought it'd be. I'm going to go barbecue sauce.
Ranch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Salads. You can put ranch on anything and doesn't make it taste worse.
That's actually true. Because I would go barbecue sauce, too, because I actually do eat barbecue sauce on almost everything. It is Andrea's, but... I would choose barbecue sauce first.
Did you have another question?
One more from a listener. And this one's a thought provoker, so if you need a second, take a second. But what fictional place would you most like to visit? Now, my first thought when I read this question was, you know those places the Beatles went in some of the cartoons and stuff that were all psychedelic? I would like to see what that was like, but...
Mushrooms?
I guess actually it's just going on mushrooms.
I don't.
I'm probably just taking acid. Never mind. So I'm going to...
Hard pass.
I'm going to change my answer. And this is a deep cut, though. C.S. Lewis has three books called The Space Trilogy. And they are really, really good. They're fiction, obviously. C.S. Lewis's first book in the Space Trilogy, he goes to Mars. The character Ransom goes to Mars. And it is a sinless planet. And
so is this.
The way... Explain.
In the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well, this one, the fall never happened, and the world progressed without sin. And the way he describes it, he's an amazing writer, is just fascinating, because it had developed, so it's not like it was primitive, but it was sinless. So that is always that's always intrigued me.
Heaven.
Kind of, but... It wasn't heaven in the same way. It was like, this is what it would be like if there was no fall. So.
Heaven.
Well, yes, but it seems like you can do a little more in heaven.
I'm going. Ethan, do you have a fantasy land you'd like to go to?
No, I was Googling them, because I'm like, what options are even out there? I think that Pandora, where Avatar, you know.
You could do that at Disney World.
It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You can, can't you?
Yeah. And they do a really good job. You got to go in the evening. Bioluminescence.
Why?
Because the whole thing is lights up and is there to glow green and blue and purple.
I don't think I've ever seen it at night.
That's it's hard awesome. To see Animal Kingdom at night, because they traditionally close around 6 or 7. And so you got to go in. Well, you've been there in December. You could probably see it.
Yeah, I don't think we stayed late enough.
I don't think when you were there that they were open late enough. Because I think when you went... In the winter, it was
COVID
it was, time.
The winter of our discontent.
Are we 56, 50, or 57?
57.
Okay. One last quick question here. Why is cheesecake called cheesecake when it has a consistency of pie? Ryan, answer the question now.
Because we determined as a society that was what we were going to do, and that is what we're going to stick with. Now get off my lawn.
Fair enough. I needed you to do that for about 30 more seconds.
Oh, sorry.
So people on not watching the stream right now are very confused.
Yeah, that was a question from Get Off My Lawn.
There's an inside joke here.
We get asked that question every week.
People ask that question, I mean, months, maybe years.
Yes.
And we just always avoid it.
We don't know what to say about it.
We're like, I don't know.
Our answer to the question is, we don't know. Yeah. Our answer to the question is, good question.
And now we can move on.
YouTube live chat poll. Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Yes or no? What do you say about that? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. Dirk said, yes, I proudly fly the flag of the United States of America, our country. And Dave says, if you fly a United States flag, everyone knows how you'll vote. Trump. Is that true? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Be or not the bee, Ryan, when we come back. Are you ready?
I couldn't be more
ready. Are you nervous?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Nope.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.